The human body is a phenomenal ecosystem. Scientists are constantly studying every aspect of the human function, including what our bodies discard as waste. I'm Mike Green. Today on the Jefferson Exchange, we're visiting with an Oregon State scientist who is leading a federally funded study on wastewater across America. The study is part of a multi-million-dollar federal effort to learn more about the resistance that pathogens develop to the drugs used to combat them. You can join our conversation today by sending questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. My guest is Professor Tala Navab Dineshmand from OSU's College of Engineering. Welcome to the Exchange, Professor.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, just to be clear, we're talking about a university study of the water we flush in our toilets, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, I'm sure that wasn't on your list of things to do when you went to college. So how did this study come about?
My undergrad was in civil engineering and I got interested in studying environmental engineering when I was going to college. And more and more I was fascinated by environmental microbiology, all the bacteria and germs that are in basically what we flush down the toilet.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I've been studying bacteria and pathogens, and pathogens are disease-causing bacteria in wastewater systems for the past few years.
Well, Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley announced there's a lot of funding for this study on their websites. How much is it, and why is this such a big deal?
The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, had a call last year, and they have funded a total of $9 million for different projects. And our project at Oregon State has received $2.35 million. And it's one of the important and major challenges of public health associated with human health related to wastewater, because there are a lot of gaps in the knowledge that exist, and there are a lot of global deaths. We have a report in 2019 of 1.27 million global deaths that were directly associated with infections that were resistant to antibiotic treatments. And so it is an important public health problem.
Well, over 1 million deaths related to drug-resistant pathogens. That's incredible. What does this EPA study hope to learn?
That's a great question. So we have two major goals. One of them is to understand the extent of this problem across the United States. So we want to, we are going to recruit and enroll 40 wastewater utilities from different regions in the U.S. And we're going to collect samples and analyze those samples, wastewater samples, throughout different seasons, different regions from different, and we're going to recruit utilities from different demographics, socioeconomic information, different communities, to see how this problem is widespread in the U.S., what are the factors that affect this, presence of antibiotic-resistant bacteria and genes in wastewater systems. And then the second goal of our problem, our project, is to try to determine what wastewater treatment processes can work better in removing these pathogens from the wastewater before they enter the environment.
Well, you mentioned this is a larger study, and OSU is a part of it. Who else is involved? How many other universities?
There are three other universities that have been funded, but the projects are individual. So our project is just run by Oregon State University.
Okay, so you're the only one studying the wastewater among these 40 recruited wastewater treatment plants?
Yes, we're going to. So our project intends to work with 40 utilities and collect samples from them and study them. Yes.
And how does that intersect or dovetail with the other studies that are ongoing? What are they doing?
They're separate. So I think they are studying different parts. One of them is studying what the risk factors are for antibiotic resistance, what are the environmental impacts of antibiotic resistance, when they enter waterways and agriculture.
Well, I remember hearing about wastewater studies back when the healthcare industry was trying to track the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
What did we learn then? What are we trying to learn now?
That's a great question. So since the COVID pandemic, wastewater surveillance has become an important tool in understanding and studying public health crises. And colleagues from Oregon State and across the globe, I guess, have been using wastewater surveillance to look for the SARS-CoV-2 pathogen viruses. And similar applications are being studied to be able to be implemented and look for antibiotic resistance in wastewater, because we can easily collect wastewater samples, whether at the utilities, those are like the local community wastewater, or from manholes, you know, in the neighborhoods. And those, that's a very quick information to a community, and we can have access to that and test those samples for whatever target pathogens we're looking at.
What's the timeline of this study, and what are you going to do with the results? Who's going to see the results and analyze them and utilize them?
Great questions. So our study is 3 years, and the results will be published in peer-reviewed journal publications. But we will we will make sure they're all open access so everybody can see them free of charge. We are also going to have a project website where we will not only have our like scientific published results, but also translate it to the public so they can have access to it. We will also produce an educational video that will distribute among communities so they can learn and educate themselves about the problem and about what they can do to help with the problem. We're also going to have develop high school curriculum and work with OSU center where they work with K-12 programs to be able to have some public outreach over there too.
Well, it sounds incredible that you're working with K-12. I'm talking with Professor Tala Navab Dineshmon from OSU's College of Engineering. She's leading a multi-million-dollar EPA-funded study of wastewater to learn more about the resistance of pathogens to treatment drugs. You can send your questions or comments by email to jx@jeffnet.org. Professor, it's one thing to learn about bacteria in wastewater, but this is an ecosystem. So what about our drinking water? How much of the resistant bacteria is finding our way into tap water?
That is a good question. So it's a cycle where, you know, we have wastewater being flushed down the toilet, and then it goes into the wastewater utilities. It gets treated. The liquid part, after it's disinfected and treated, it usually goes into the waterways. It sometimes is used for agriculture, and then sometimes it goes to the river. Downstream, the water from the river is taken up and treated for drinking water. And so, yes, some of these bacteria and genes make their way to our drinking water. They do get treated, and they are below drinking water meets the standards that are existing right now for drinking water, but we do get them back to us through the drinking water as well.
So you just described an ecosystem that says when we flushed our toilet, eventually that comes back around and comes out of our tap.
That's correct.
I'm not sure most people know that. So when you find this bacteria or this resistant bacteria in the tap water, what happens then?
Well, the amount that comes out of tap water is very small. And it has not been, if it was, it meets the standards, as I said. So that means they are safe to be to drink at them. But accumulating through the drinking water, those are the really not the significant sources we're concerned about. But the antibiotics we consume also, those can cause more resistance in our system. There is also not just water. There is also the meat we consume, the agricultural products that we consume. And antibiotics are not only used for humans, they're also used for animals, for agriculture. So we also are introducing our bodies to antibiotics and antibiotic resistance through the produce and meat.
So, Professor, you're scaring me a little bit. Now you're telling me it's not just in our water, it's in our food too.
Well, I'm not. These are all small amounts, and they are not the major main drivers of antibiotic resistance. What is the major driver, and what we need to pay attention to, is the misuse and overuse of antibiotics. So, really, as individuals, if we finish the course of antibiotics when they're prescribed, if we are, if our medical system prescribe the antibiotics correctly when it's needed, not, for example, for a viral, you know, infection, but actually for when there is a bacterial infection, those help.
So are you saying we're becoming more over-reliant on antibacterial or antibiotic medicines?
Well, I hope not, but different communities and different times, there is more prescription, like with COVID pandemic. At times there were secondary infections, and then sometimes, when they need to treat you, they might not check for what sort of infection you have. So then if you get prescribed for antibiotics when you don't need it, then that's one of the main drivers of antibiotic resistance in our body.
So we're basically strengthening the pathogens against the kind of treatment that would otherwise kill them.
Exactly.
So, Professor, give me some insight into this study process. How many places we know there's 40, but in different places, what geographic regions are you studying? And how do you physically gather the data that you're looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we are right now contacting different utilities. So if you're a utility and you're listening to us, you know, we might be contacting you, or you can reach out to us. But we are really trying to spread out our study across the whole U.S. We've divided the country based on an EPA map. Environmental Protection Agency has a map of their offices, and we've used that as a base. And we've divided the country, the contiguous U.S., into five regions, Northwest, Southwest, Northeast, Southeast, and Midwest. And we, from each region, we're going to recruit 8 utilities, and we're going to try and those utilities to be from smaller communities, medium-sized communities, and large-sized communities. And when I say that, it relates to the population size that is being served by the utility. And once we've identified the utilities, then when the sampling starts, which will be winter of 25, we will have 2 winters and 2 summers when we would collect our samples. We send these large coolers with sampling containers and instructions and some ice packs in them. We ship them out to the utilities. When the day comes that they are doing the sampling, they will collect the samples following the instructions. They have the ice packs in their freezer, so they take them out, put them in the cooler, and then they use overnight shipping so that we receive it the next morning. And we have to process them within 24 hours of collection.
Okay, so very quickly, we're running out of time, but how do you discern demographic differences in the population data when it's all mixed together in the wastewater?
There is a website, and there are some information for social vulnerability index. So we use that information, and we try to categorize our communities based on that.
Well, I appreciate it. That's all the time we have. I've been talking with Professor Tala Navab Dineshmand from OSU's College of Engineering. She's leading a multi-million-dollar EPA study of wastewater to learn more about the resistance of pathogens to treatment drugs. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thanks, Mike, for having me.
I'm Mike Green. The Exchange will be right back.